Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sheena Metal, and today is my birthday.
Happy birthday, Sheena.
To you.
Happy birthday.
How about that?
To you.
So,
happy birthday.
Dear Sheena.
Happy birthday.
Wonderful. Look at that.
Yeah.
So our wonderful station owner, Sam, was nice enough to let us have this beautiful video studio for my birthday party.
And thanks, I thought, Sam.
Well, what do I want to do with my birthday? I want to do a 4-hour broadcast of Raising the Vibration. Normally, it's every Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. So tonight, we're taking over my daily Sheena Metal Experience slot, too, and have people that I love on the show. Some of our vibrational council is going to be here and also calling in. A bunch of our advisory board is going to be here and also calling in for my movement of peace and love and kindness and unity. I am raisingthevibration.com.
Yes.
As we await our nonprofit status and are about to launch our website at raisingthevibration.org. And who better to be sitting with me today than my best friend of my whole life since I was 14, the wonderful L.A. Weiss, who is part of our council. The beautiful Jeffrey J.P. Morgan, who is really kind of the executive secretary of the entire movement, who does all the little menial tasks that only a Gemini can do and not go crazy. And then my beautiful friend Glenn Marcinak is here. He's our veterans liaison.
Yes.
Because he's the only one that was
brave enough to serve.
Exactly.
Reality.
I don't know how else to say it but that. And also our millennial. Yay! Because you have to have a millennial.
Well, we could also say stupid enough to join.
No.
Brave enough. But everybody can't be 50 on the council, and I'm 51 today. So I made it. I'm still alive. I'm so thrilled to age, I can't even tell you. Sitting right next to me, this beautiful lady was the person that I trusted enough to ask her to do the very first Raising the Vibration radio show.
That's right.
The wonderful Carolyn Hennessy.
That's right. The crunching sound you hear is me eating leftover Easter candy.
Mm. Oh, there's nothing.
In lieu of dinner.
Well, yeah. It is technically, what is it? It's Bunny Day? Because it's Boxer Day is the day after Christmas, right?
So it's Bunny Day?
It's Bunny Day.
It's Basket Day.
Damn you, daytime Emmys.
You eat the leftover.
Yeah. That's right, Tam. I have a couple of daytime Emmy dresses to fit into.
I do.
I'm going to put these on because people are going to be calling all throughout
the
show.
I always saw it as half-price Easter candy day.
Half-price Easter candy day.
You know what?
Yeah.
Oh, don't go into a Rite Aid. Don't go into a Rite Aid.
Oh,
no. I'm stopping by Target and Walmart, or Walmart after this.
I was right before I came here.
I know.
Bring a basket.
Right. Now, wait a minute. You have an advisory council, and
I do.
You have a board, and you have a spiritual...
I do. This is what I have.
What do you have?
So I have a vibrational council, which are basically my best friends and the people in my life that work with me day to day to help run all the crazy stuff that I do.
Okay.
And there are 15 of us, 14 of us plus me, 7 women, 7 men, and me. And then I have a board of directors that I had to have for the nonprofit papers.
Okay.
And that was just a secretary and a treasurer. So that is L.A. and my friend Kelly Rivers. And they're also on the council, but they're my board members. And then I have an advisory board that we're announcing tonight that is this many wonderful people who are all part of my advisory board, including you, the beautiful Carolyn.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what am I on?
You're on the advisory board.
Can I hear a little bit better in here?
Just bump it up a little bit. See her lever?
Just a touch.
Which one is it?
It doesn't matter.
Try them all.
Yeah.
I think it's two.
Is it that one?
Nope, it might be three.
Maybe.
There it is.
There it is.
So Carolyn's three, Glenn is four, I'm two, and you're one.
Very exciting. And you know what that deserves?
A jelly bean.
Another Easter egg.
And I was so honored that you were the first person I asked to be on the advisory board as well. And again, you said yes.
I can't say no to you.
I know. What is that about?
Nor do I ever want to.
You just can't quit me.
I can't quit you. Nor do I want to. Nor do I want to, baby. I really don't.
Did she have you at hello?
Pretty much.
I had her at hello, yeah. How did we meet? We met because you were doing a fundraiser at Rockwell, Table and Stage, and a publicist brought you on the show to talk about that. I think it was at Rockwell.
No. Yes? No?
I think it was at Rockwell.
Was it?
And it was like a cabaret extravaganza with fabulous people, and you were just one of them. And you came with Denise Frazier's sister, Diane Frazier.
Really?
Yeah. So what did you? And she directed it, I believe. And the two of you came and sat in the studio with me, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that one and I are going to be friends." And then I just kept asking you to come and do things, and you just kept saying yes.
I feel like I never have not known you.
Isn't that great?
Uh huh. Oh, cinnamon. So one I don't like.
Oh, now you have to eat three more to make up for it.
I don't like that and the buttered popcorn.
Oh yeah, that's a little scary.
What is going on with that? That sounds like it's something that should like. I think it's this one. See, it's this one. Let me just see.
Oh,
yeah, that's what it was. No.
You just took one for the team.
That's what it was. I'll point them all out to you.
She can't quit Jelly Bellies either. Mm-mm. And then here you are involved in all my stuff. And also, Carolyn founded, and just kind of privately, this wonderful women's theater group called The Women. And we get together every month. And
every month, we
read theater. And no matter who the parts are written for, all women read them. It's, and we eat fabulous, delicious things. We have a wonderful time of just enjoying theater with people that we love.
It's called The Women. And it doesn't matter what we read. It's only women.
Mm-hmm.
Shakespeare had his all men troupe with an E at the end, and I have all women.
It's wonderful
because you know what? So I'm blessed. We're all blessed,
yeah.
And so many of my exceptionally talented actress friends are not able to practice their craft as they wish,
yeah.
And so I am help. I've said enough of that. We're all going to keep our chops sharp.
Good.
At my house, but we're going to make it a potluck because I don't want to do dishes.
Good for you.
Fair enough.
Good for you. The first time that I did the Vagina Monologues in 2006 in New York City, somebody basically just said, "Do you want to come to New York?" Somebody's phone is on. Make sure your phone is silent.
No one's calling me.
I can hear the broadcast running in my ears.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Somebody called me and said, "Do you want to come to New York? And we'll put you up for a week at the St. Regis." Honey, at that point, I would have done hair naked, the whole thing. Whatever anybody wanted me to do at
all
that point.
All the roles.
Everything. I would have done anything you would have asked. I would have just, hit watermelons with a sledgehammer for that. And that's what it was. I went to New York. They put us up in a beautiful room at the St. Regis. And I got to be on stage with Ally Sheedy and Catherine Erbe, who was on Law & Order Criminal Intent at the time, who's a brilliant actress from Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm.
And everything from politicians to local radio hosts to cabaret performers to girls that had just graduated with graduate degrees from Smith and Vassar that had never been on a stage before. And we did the Vagina Monologues, and everybody became a family in a couple of hours. And it was such a beautiful feeling that when I got home, all I could think about was doing it again. So the next year, that director turned my director, my friend out here in L.A., so the girls in New York talked to the girls in L.A., and I did it with a lot of the L Word cast in 2007. Hmm. And then all I could think about was directing it. And the woman, Victoria Jackson, who directed me in Culver City, actually mentored me to be a director and taught me how to do it.
Mm.
So meanwhile, I had started the Sheena Metal Experience in 2009, and I was interviewing all these amazing women, and I thought, I wonder if I ask people if they do it. And I literally remember the first night I went to hit send, I thought, what are you doing? No one is going to come direct something for you. I'd never directed before. And I was amazed at how many people said yes, and we just loved our way through it. And now it's become a thing, like what you were just saying, Carolyn, where I think, how can I help more women? What can I do to get more women interested?
By the way, I'm touching all of these so that no one else will have them.
Carolyn has peed on the jelly beans.
Think that would ever stop me?
But it didn't stop me.
It never occurred to me how important an issue that was until I was in the middle of it. And now I just think, how many different things can I do? My next thing is, and I have never talked about this on the air, but in 2011, I was in a production of Last Summer at Bluefish Cove at the Stella Adler. And I really want to do that for an LGBT charity as a reading, as a fundraiser.
Yeah.
So be prepared to get a call for that.
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
You have me on speed dial, I hope.
with little theater masks next to you. And it just flashes and says, call Carolyn.
you did not do the Vajayjay monologues last year, but you did them the year before, and that was my third year doing them. Right?
Okay.
I think it was the third.
Mm-hmm.
It was either the third or the second.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember because you wanted us all in pinks and fuchsias and magentas.
That's
and
my color.
And,
it's their color,
yeah,
too. But.
And I went to the sample sale, as I am wont to do every month, and bought this pink top, which I would never wear anywhere because it looks like a baby doll nightdress, but it's a, you know, I put throw on a pair of black slacks and call it a damn day, and and just with this and my pink stones, my rings, and I think you gave me the monologue,
yeah,
the first year,
yes,
and then I would literally take off someone's hand if they tried to read it again.
I know,
because now it's mine.
It's perfect.
And I love it, and I love it, and I love it, and I love it, and I want to do it every single night. And you say, okay, which week? And I say, week? What do you mean? I want all 4 days.
I want every night.
I want all 4 days. So I'm so excited now because I'm going to be able to get the pink cloud out of you know, sort of storage in the bedroom where it is.
Well, and I think what sometimes people don't know, and I talk about this a lot, and, you know, you slayed the world in Masterclass this year.
Amen.
JP still talks about it, is that you know, people know you from True Blood, from General Hospital, from all the television you've done and film, and they don't realize what it's like to see you up close as a stage actor. But if you really want to see energetically what somebody's got in them, go see them on stage.
Amen. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because that's when people really see your power and your talent.
And you
walk out on that stage with that chair in your hand and those spike heels with your pink tutu top on, and man, there is not a peep in the house. People are just, and then they just hold their breath because they don't know what's going to happen.
Because it's
coming.
A long intro of silence. Have you seen this thing?
No, I have not.
Why not?
I just became old enough to. No, I'm
kidding.
Yeah, you'll see it.
You'll see it this year.
Yeah, because you just walk out and take the stage. You don't need to say anything.
Mm-mm.
Go ahead. Turn your back to them. They'll wait. They'll be intrigued. Act with your back. Show them and then do your thing. And when you're ready, then you get to start. So there.
But, you know, it's part of it, I think, is that wonderful show that Eve Ensler wrote. And I'm such a fan of not only what she did with the show, but what she's done with her humanity by forming a movement to end violence around the show. But also, the audiences, I think, come back again and again every year.
Huge.
And they are the kind of audience that they want to be acted to.
Yes.
So they will wait. They will be quiet. They don't talk during the show. It's like the best audience in the world.
It's true. The only, if there were a slight negative to the vagina monologues that you do, it's that the audience that comes back every single year is not the audience that needs to see the vagina monologue.
That's true. Yeah. The people that I know already know.
They know.
They know.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't lay a finger on a woman. They wouldn't. They've evolved.
Mm-hmm.
They are men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Of every stripe. That get it in toto. And so I would love to maybe get some people who need to see this.
Yeah.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Of an evening. And pack the house.
I can think of quite a few.
Could we
bring them?
I don't know them.
So we're going to hold a benefit for the GOP.
I wish I did.
Easy.
Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Seriously, be nice.
I'm sorry.
Throttle back, Sparky. Throttle back.
But you know, that's actually a great
idea.
I
need the love back in the room.
And why don't we work on that after we do it this year? Let me see if I can get permission from her people, and maybe we could take it to, a violence group or.
Mm. Or a prison.
Oh, I almost went to Rikers with her, but I had a gig here I couldn't get out of. Eve took my cast from New York to Rikers Prison, and it was the first time that they'd ever taken it in there. And it was because my director, Fiona McKinney from New York, her passion was to go into women's prisons and teach the girls Reiki and massage and yoga and different things to give them a skill they could teach the other girls so they could feel good about themselves.
Let's take it to a women's prison and say, kids, now you know, don't let this happen to you. And to the domestic abuse wing, D block of any prison, you know, because I'm sure there are people that, you know, killed somebody to save a woman. Okay, they don't necessarily need to see the vagina monologues, but domestic abuse, and say, don't do this again.
Mm. No, guess what?
What?
We've got a call
of Mr. Chip Coffee.
Do you know Chip Coffee, the TV psychic?
No, Chip, read me.
Chip,
now?
Chip is one of my best friends. Chip, do you know Carolyn Hennessy from General Hospital?
I know who she is, absolutely. I've never had the pleasure of meeting
Neither, and yes, but tell me what you're getting. What do the cards say right now? Major Arcana, please, no tower. Okay, go ahead.
You know what? I don't usually do it like this, but no, I will make a deal.
Oh my goodness,
with
she put you totally on the spot.
Sheena has my information, and if you give me a call, I will give you a reading.
What are you doing later on tonight? I'm calling you. Okay, yeah. No, seriously.
Did she put you on the spot,
I did,
Chip?
I did. I'm sorry, but I'm not, Chip.
I give her nice little readings and tips at lunch sometimes because that's just Carolyn. I thought you would know Chip. Chip is a...
I know the name.
Sure,
and are we on Facebook? Chip?
I don't think so, but we can remedy that.
Oh, well, let's do
I'll,
it.
I'll connect you.
Let's do that.
I'll make it happen.
Okay. All right.
Look at that. You made
we
a friend.
We probably have a lot of mutual friends.
I'm thinking tons. I keep forgetting to look in
There's
the camera.
There's probably a lot of 1 degrees of separation because when I was a child, I used to do soap operas. And I know a lot of people on all the networks, as a matter of fact, on all three networks.
Who do you know on my show? Who do you know on General Hospital?
Oh, God, you're going to quiz me now.
Well, never mind. I know you know him. The vet. Yeah, I got it. I got you.
Did you ever work with...
The ones that I know probably are the old guard.
Leslie Charlton.
I met Leslie a long time ago.
Right. Lovely. Lovely, lovely. Tony Geary and... Tony Geary.
A long time ago, I'm trying to think. You've got to take into consideration that I started watching General Hospital was my Aunt Polly, her favorite TV show. So I've watched General Hospital since the days of Steve Harvey and Jesse Brewer.
Absolutely. Nurse Jesse and Dr. Steve. Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Emily McLaughlin. Emily Laughlin?
Yeah.
Married to Jeffrey Hunter, married to my Aunt Barbara, so Jeffrey was my uncle. Except I never knew him because he passed. Jesus. He fell down those stairs before I was born.
A lot of 1 degrees of separation.
Seriously?
In this business, don't
okay.
you think?
All right,
I love
Chip.
That.
Okay,
it's wonderful Chip. To hear your voice, my friend. Chip is also a new member of our advisory board and one of the first people to do this show as long in the first month. Carolyn was my first. Chip, I think you were my fourth because you were out of town when I first started it. How are you, my friend? It's always good to hear your voice. I love you so much.
It's good to hear your voice. Happy, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy celebration.
Thank you. Can you believe I made it another year?
They say only the good die young. Well, you know what? I don't know what that means, but I think we're going to be around for a while.
I think we're going to be around for a while. Plus, we're Irish, we're hard to kill. It's a good thing I love life, because it's very hard to kill the Irish, only with alcohol, and I don't drink.
Although so. I'm feeling poorly.
I was going to say, only if we get drunk and roll out.
That's right. That's right.
Right, exactly.
Like, that's a bad thing.
Exactly. Did you work with Breonna Brown on General Hospital?
I worked... She and I never worked in the same item together.
Okay.
But yeah, I know her.
She's on our advisory board.
I do know Breonna. She and I had lunch together when she was filming Desperate Housewives.
Desperate Housewives.
Atlanta.
That's right, yes.
Are you in Atlanta?
He's in Atlanta.
I am, come on.
I was in Atlanta a year ago doing a horror movie, which is coming out soon.
Nice.
And can we just talk about the fried chicken at the Colonnade?
Come on.
Uh-huh. Oh. And everything at Mary Mac's Tea Room.
Well, now, when you come back to Atlanta again, I will take you to Cow Tippers, which is kind of a roadhouse.
Okay.
You will like Cow
Tippers. Okay. All right, fine.
Oh, I think we need to plan an Atlanta trip.
Ooh.
Yeah, Atlanta trip to Chip.
Atlanta
trip to Chip.
A Chip trip.
We'll bring the jelly beans, Chip. We're coming.
And we're bringing all over that. Big Who else is in the studio with you today?
My wonderful, very best friend from my whole life, the amazing L.A. Weiss, is here. And Jeffrey J.P. Morgan, who is they're also on the Vibrational Council, and Glenn Marcinak, my council members. Carolyn is here in studio with me. And in just 10 minutes, our good friend Ray Don Chong will be here, who is also on our advisory board, and one of my newest for my new Chicks on Politics venture. that I'm doing. I know I just said me and politics in the same sentence again.
Yep.
But it was time to bring some love. So Ray Dawn is wonderful and actually reads, which I never do because all I do is talk. So she basically throws facts out and I talk about love. That's how it works.
Let me ask you a question about this political thing. Is it dual-sided?
I absolutely want it to be dual-sided, but it's hard to get folks that have differing opinions to come. Because here's my thing. Basically, it is not about Democrat, Republican. It's not about left and right. It's about there are good people and there are not good people.
On both sides of the aisle.
And people who want a smaller government but want people to live a happy life full of love, those are my people. People who want peace and love and kindness and unity. I happen to want a bigger government. I'm a very happy Democrat, and I always have been. Mm-hmm. But I don't want angry fighting, name-calling. It's just not my thing.
Right.
So I think eventually in this country, if we are going to survive and avoid a civil war, and this is one of the missions, as everybody here knows, of I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World, this movement, is that if we don't get to a place where we can find a way to love each other, despite our differences, we're going to be in big trouble. And the problem is that the key to that is a lot of people are going to have to let go of their hate and their discrimination and their bigotry and their us and them mentality.
That's hard. Honey, love each other. People can't even talk to each other these days.
I know. They can't
even talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. I know. I've recently gotten involved in a new project that Brianna turned me on to. And I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to convince our wonderful station owner here to let us do one in here. But they've never done it live on the air before. It's called the People's Supper. And it's where they gather a table of 8 or 10 people, and each one of them is politically different. And everyone brings a dish to eat. I touched Carolyn's jelly beans, Chip. Everyone brings a dish to eat, and then everyone talks about how they're really feeling. And I want to be the first one to do it live on the air.
That would be weird.
And they did one, and they filmed it. They've done one, and they filmed it. Brianna's group from L.A. Mm-hmm. And apparently it was really wonderful to get people talking. And one of the reasons when I founded this movement, and I founded it to be nonpartisan and non-secular and for everybody, that was part of the idea that we need to connect with each other at our love center.
You know that there are, and because I know some of them, and I will not out them, certainly. But I do know people on the right side of the aisle, I should say the conservative side of the aisle,
sure,
who wouldn't be caught dead at a dinner like that because they won't work again. So Brianna was able to get conservatives in Hollywood to sit
I don't know if it's all Hollywood people.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I know that the two girls that put it together for her, one is a writer, and the other one is one of the organizers of LA's Women's March.
Okay.
See, to me, we have so many issues in addition to our Hollywood partisan problems. Every woman should want equality for women, whether she votes Democrat or Republican or independent or green or libertarian. She should still want rights for women. All people should want everyone else to have rights. It's just that it's Chip. How you doing? You were one of my first ones to do that show, and you and I did some radio. Actually, Chip did the day they announced our new president. Chip did 2 hours with me on the air because it was my mother's birthday, and we were doing a celebration to my mom. And he was brave enough on that day to do 2 hours of radio.
The day after the election.
That was my mother's birthday and my first without her.
That was a tough day.
That was a tough day. And people called in.
That was a tough day for a lot of people. Yeah. You know, being a gay man, the marginalization that occurs within that community, you spoke about women, and everyone should want what's best for a woman. But let's look at minorities. Let's look at LGBTQ community.
Sure.
Let's look at all the issues that are out there. And, you know, and sadly, we've been given license to hate.
Yeah,
we've been given license to just freely speak our minds and have things surface, come bubble to the surface like a cesspool that at one point in time was hidden in the closet and not spoken about so openly. So that's the part of it that scares me, is the unbridled hatred that has spewed forth in our country.
I agree. And I think that also people have a separate sexuality, gender, and gender identity. People also have a separate way they feel fiscally, socially, spiritually.
And they don't all
have to be lumped in together.
No question.
You know, just straight politically, I'm pretty left of center. But as far as my social beliefs, I believe everybody should have rights. And spiritually, I believe every way that people worship is the right way, as long as there's no hate involved. As long as you're living in the light, no matter whether you go to church or you don't, or you believe or you don't, you're still walking in the light. And that's what resonates with
me. As long as you're doing no harm to yourself or to others.
As no harm, exactly. Yeah. On the eve of the inauguration, I posted on Facebook that I had heard from many quarters that there was going to be a tremendous amount of violence in Washington. And I posted on Facebook, I said, please, I'm praying for everyone who's there. I'm praying that, you know, the police don't have to be called. I'm praying that people get along and that there is no violence and that there's certainly that nobody's hurt. And he's in. And God forbid, seriously, God forbid, he should be assassinated. God forbid. I'm not saying that. Not at all. But as far as I know, he's going to be sworn in tomorrow. So wanting him to fail immediately, just on principle, wanting him to fail this country, because it's not about you or you or you, it's about this country as a whole and what it represents. So wanting him to fail is like wanting the pilot to have a heart attack when on a 747 over the Atlantic.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. And so I said, so can we step away from ourselves enough to wish him well? Because wishing him well, and that includes wisdom and perspective and right choices, I mean correct choices, is only going to benefit this country, and that's what we're all about. And I lost friends over that post.
I'm sure.
I had a couple that I had gone to Normandy with about 5 years ago for New Year's Eve. It was Carolyn and four gay couples. And we had the best time. And
those are some great odds.
Oh, yeah.
I know, right?
Actually, no.
Well, depends on the goal, but it sounds like a good time.
It was a great time, right. But, you know. So one member of one of these couples came onto my page and started slamming me, and I mean really vitriolic. And I said, okay, I can't have you on my page because all you want to do is hate. You just want to hate as a matter of course.
Yeah. And so, a couple of those.
And so I said I have to let you go. And this year I was going to go back to Normandy. I got a call from the Belgian boys and we were going to have fun. And this couple here said we never want to see, they don't even know they just assume they know everything about me. They have no idea. And they said, no, one of them said, I fully admit that I came onto your page and I was full of hate. I was full of hate, 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 but I don't ever want to see you again. And it's like, well, okay, because I said, I don't remember what you said or what you did, but let's let bygones be bygones. Let's just let it go.
I went through the same thing. I mean, as all of you know, I hosted a politics show for 5.5 years with somebody that I thought was one of my best friends in the whole world. And after the election, the hate that had been building up got even uglier. And some stuff happened, and she did some stuff and said some stuff, and somebody went to the press, and it turned big. And I put out a statement to say I loved her, and I had never seen before any behavior in her like I saw in what she said, and that I thought that we all needed to check ourselves a little bit and go on with our lives.
Yeah.
And instantly, everyone on the right told me that I was a commie in love with Hillary Clinton. And then a lot of my friends on the left told me, oh, clearly I was a hidden Republican, and that it was obvious and it showed in the way. So I either supported her not enough or too much. It all fell down on me. I was the only person that took the time to make a statement. And that's what happened. And I stand by that statement. And the friendship ended. And I lost a lot of my, I'm sorry, I lost a lot of my gay friends. I lost a lot of my very left friends. I lost a ton of my friends on the right. I lost her. And all I did was put something out saying, can't we all just get along?
Can't we all just get along?
And by the way, I read that. And I hadn't really gotten to know Sheena yet. And I just remember reading this thinking, well, she is being the best diplomat in the world.
Yeah.
And Oh, she's going in the wrong door.
That's Radon's cute. Here, but we're trying to get her in.
Yeah. Here she comes. Diplomacy. Diplomacy.
It is. Right. And it was so, I was reading it with a friend of mine, another friend of Sheena's, and I'm going, okay, first of all, she's being such, this is just like a love fest
right.
from her to everybody.
Well, that was right. the point.
And right. and she wasn't taking sides, but I will be honest. See, I know, mind you, I hadn't really known her mm-hmm, yet. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, how dare she not take a stronger viewpoint against homophobia? That was me. Because the things
but
were
I did said
say, that were
very... it's completely wrong.
And she did say that. She did say, just, but it I was will, all... I will, it was so well...
crafted.
It was very well crafted.
And very...
But I backed off. I really backed off on that because I kept going. And my friend said, read it again. So I read it again. And then I went, well, you know, it's making a lot more sense. Hi, Radon.
Radon Chong is here.
Hi. Hi. Hey, guess what we're talking about? Politics. Hey.
Do you know each other, Carolyn? No. Radon?
Hi. Hello. Carolyn nice Hennessy? To know you. Carolyn yes. Hennessy. How are you?
Chip Coffey is on the phone. Do you know Chip, television psychic? Radon is here.
Hi, Chip.
Hello, Radon. How are you, darling?
Hi.
We were talking about how something that we talk about with Chicks on Politics, that we're never going to get past the struggles we're at right now unless we embrace love. As a matter of fact, on the first Chicks on Politics we ever did, and Radon's done every one with me, all seven of them, she said that she thought in the president's cabinet, right, that there should be a secretary of hugs.
Yes.
And
yes.
that there should be
a
somebody
a Reiki master
just in charge of dispensing more love to people.
I think the physical act of hugging creates a really beautiful connection, and it heals. You know, all the Indian gurus that are the hugging gurus, they know this. And I don't mean like the creepy Donald Trump hug that he does, which is grab the arm and then, you know, grab their shoulders and other parts, but I mean the true hug, a real hug.
The clasping to
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It's heart to heart connection.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of feel, with what you said, Carolyn, really quick, before somebody else calls in and then I have to love on Chip before he goes, yeah. What you said about everybody hopefully hoping the night before the inauguration that he actually turned out not to be what we thought he was going to be.
Right.
I kind of feel like the kind of person that he is, and this has nothing to do with Republicans or
when
conservatives.
When you say he, you're talking about Trump.
Donald Trump. Yeah. Just him, the kind of person that he is. He's kind of like, a friend pointed this out to me once, actually our friend Robert Sema, who's on our council, that who's a wrestling fan, that he's like the heel in pro wrestling. He really kind of wants you to throw the banana peels at him, and that the more we rage about his behavior, the more bad his behavior gets. And that's just how some people are.
That's a psychosis. That's a that's a.
So maybe type of if narcissism. We all just, as I try to suggest to people, like you do with badly behaved children, IGNORE, let's you know, because the more we say you're a douche, the more he says, "Why you want to see something really douchey?"
Right.
And then
right,
he fires
right.
three
now
people.
That's the scary part. I wake up in the morning and go, "What fresh new hell today?"
What exactly. what fresh hell
every
is this?
Every single person in the world is waking up and saying, holding their breath. I mean, I think it's a global PTSD.
And it's beginning to affect us all physiologically.
Terribly.
I can feel it
you know
in
what,
my
you
heart.
You know what I fear, though? I'll tell you what I fear the
Please,
most.
Chip.
Is that we're going to become inured to it. It's going to become the new norm. And everybody's just going to go, well, that's just the way it is. And I hope that
no.
does not happen.
That's today's tweet. Yeah.
I hope that we continue to make our voices heard when something is said or done that is totally outrageous or inappropriate.
Absolutely. Well, the other thing is, though, you guys, just to remind you, there is good news. There is Christmas coming. There is Hanukkah. There is a birthday. And that's the Mueller investigation.
It's my birthday today.
Happy birthday, Sheena. Thank the you. Mueller investigation is so deep. And what is being pulled out from under the rock of this administration is so icky, bad, and completely horrifying that I do believe all of us are going to see some really extraordinary things go down.
I agree. I, so.
I
agree.
That will Chip, help.
Chip, I love you. I have to let you go because somebody else is calling in.
Hi, Chip. Thank you. Chip, I'm calling you. I'm calling you later. Is that cool?
I
well, you know what?
Friend request,
Thanks
Carolyn
a bunch,
Hennessy.
Chip.
Radon, lovely to meet you. You guys, happy birthday, Sheena. I love you. I
love you,
you
sweetheart.
Love
you, I'll see you soon. And don't forget, Atlanta trip to Chip is coming soon.
To Chip.
Atlanta trip to Chip.
Hey, I'm all in.
One of the, go ahead.
One of the things that I hope is going to happen with the Mueller investigation, if it does turn out the way many think it will, and it turns out being an impeachment, is that, like with Watergate, the world will see this is the kind of stuff that we do not want ever to happen in our government again.
It's worse than just impeachment. We're talking indictment.
Well, true, but
and
all of
in
it.
In fact, somebody said today online about Jeff Sessions that they have him with the Russians at the RNC convention.
But let's hope it scorches the earth a little bit, and then we start really thinking about how we behave.
But can I just throw something in here?
Sure.
I am so appalled at the treatment of the Palestinians. And I find it incredibly frustrating that if you mention this, you're instantly anti-Semitic. And especially in Hollywood. And I mean, I am not. I was raised by a Jewish family, and I feel that I'm Jewish culturally. So it's really hurtful when people hit me with that when I mention the inhumane treatment of the Palestinian people in general all day, every day, recently especially. And so I don't know, Sheena, you make me scared when you say this thing about we should learn from this, when I'm thinking, how much more of a lesson do you need?
I know. No, I don't mean to make you scared. I just think that...
I can't believe I waded into this, because this is such a hot
surprise.
No. I know you walked right into the hot with your kombucha.
I just feel like, you know, we're sitting here being raped culturally by a blob of bully, and it really hurts. But then we also are very liberally stupid when it comes to true, you know, bigotry. But it's bigotry.
This is what I was going to say earlier, right, when she came in. The thing that I don't understand about just people in general, I'm not even right, left, whatever, is why things have to be all or nothing.
Right.
You know, and just because we are talking about the political part, is that on both sides, it's like things are all or nothing. Now, in my personal experience, like on my personal Facebook page, the people who lean more conservatively tend to be a little bit more that way, but not all of them. But, you know, some of them, you know, there was some natural attrition that happened after the election on my page, so there aren't a lot of them there now. But it's this weird, it's either the all or nothing thing, or it's the you say something and they say, yeah, but... So it's always like, yeah, but look what so-and-so did. It's like this deflection instead of coming to me.
What they really want you to hear is what's after the butt.
And the truth
is. Well, and not only that, but they don't have anything to say that supports their case. All they have is the yeah, but
they
so-and-so.
Didn't know
and I'm like,
they,
two wrongs don't make a right. Yes, so-and-so did do this. It doesn't make it okay.
But the simplest thing, the simplest example of the ignorance of Americans is that they didn't know that Obamacare was the ACA.
I know.
Oh, yeah. That was one big one.
Oh, people don't think anymore.
Right.
They let...
No, I know. Oh, it's true.
That was, to me, so shocking. They're like, ah, Obamacare. But meanwhile, don't touch the ACA.
Right.
And then we have the thing of, you know, the pilgrims arriving to this land called America. And now we have the same European descendants saying, get out of our country. And I'm thinking,
I know.
Well, but you are, in fact, an immigrant.
I know.
Right? And, you know.
And I love when people say, I'm not an immigrant. My people came here from Europe.
I'm sorry, are
what?
We in Europe?
Were
Can we
Europe?
Just backtrack?
No.
And then.
At one point, did we touch Europe? And I missed it before that ocean
did.
Was crossed.
Yes. And then,
Pangea. That was a long time
one
ago.
One more thing. And then the Republicans, I was listening on the way over here, won't raise taxes so that our children have decent schools to function in.
Right.
Instead, we have these mold-filled, underfunded, creepy, prison-y looking places to learn with bad food and miserable people teaching because they're so broken up.
A cafeteria burrito used to make my day.
Oh, yeah. What about the hamburgers with the saltpeter? With the little saltpeter bumps in them.
Right.
That was delicious. I'm sure that's why I'm a diabetic now.
I want to ask Ray what she's wearing around her wrist. Is that garnet? Is it carnelian? It's garnet.
It's garnet and carnelian.
Oh, you knew it was both.
Yeah.
I've been doing some work.
You know.
You know how I'm raising the vibration these days?
Let's know how.
Not hexing people.
Oh.
Self-control.
I'm not necessarily a force for positive change. I'm just not going to the dark side.
Okay. Well,
I had a thing. I had a thing when I first really learned about that, you know, like like any negative thought you have about somebody, technically, because thoughts are things.
Yes.
So any negative thought you have about somebody is going to affect them, whether they are aware of it or not.
Oh,
so
really? Then I've been doing some major stuff.
Well, so I know.
But it affects you more.
Right, it does. But yeah. But when I learned that, I thought, oh, you know, especially when I'm driving. there's some pretty, you know, messed up people out there. So maybe that's why.
Meet your family.
Yeah. So one time this guy, this is when I was really new to all this, like, I don't know, 15, 16, 17 years ago. And this guy just took my parking spot, you know, in this place. I mean, I was right there, and I just felt these daggers like shoot out of me at him, and then I felt guilty. Like it's almost like I could see them going, and I felt guilty, and then I was like, Nerf balls, Nerf balls, Nerf balls, and then I was like, with itty bitty spikes, because I was still mad, but I didn't want to be full daggers. I just thought, just hit him with Nerf balls with tiny spikes on them. But you know, that is a thing. If you're just trying to do no harm, you don't have to love everyone up. It's baby steps, right?
I'm not doing anybody any physical.
A lot of jelly beans helps.
Yeah, jelly beans.
If this is any help, I don't know, but I like to look at people that I dislike, including Donald Trump and including Jeff Sessions and including Scott Pruitt and including James Riker and including Wilbur Ross and including Vladimir Putin and including the KKK. Anyway, so I like to look at all these guys and I think, all right, this is the one thing they all share in common are little boys who didn't get enough attention when it mattered.
Right. And there's a lot of that. I worked in corporate radio for years, and the management, all the guys in management were like, my mom used to always say, those boys all look like the kind the football player locked in their lockers. And I think mom was kind of right.
She's right on.
And
in fact,
then they grew up and they were like, well, now I have money, so I get to date all the prostitutes all the hot models, and I get whatever I want, and I can do whatever I want. And I think that's something that hopefully we are going to, in the next 100 years, change the dynamic between men and women, change the way that people are judged based on how they look.
The planet is female.
Yeah.
She's an undulating ball of love, and she keeps feeding us, and we keep hurting her.
Yeah.
And I think one day she's going to shake us off like lice.
Yeah.
I think. I hope not.
Things don't change.
I hope
they build that station on the moon.
I hope so. Or Mars.
Yeah.
I'm not a big space traveler. You won't catch me.
I don't even get
anywhere.
On planes, so I'm kind of...
I want to make this planet work.
That's one of the two remaining things on my bucket list.
Is what?
I want to go into space.
Physically?
Oh, yeah. Physically into space.
Sort of...
Yeah.
Kind of, I'm out there.
You can go there.
I only had three things on my bucket list, really.
Oh.
One was to ride in the Rose Parade.
Did you do it?
You did that?
Thank you, 2017.
Nice.
Oh, yay!
On the Lucy Pet Foundation, the longest float in the world, with the surfing dogs.
Oh, yeah.
The other one is to go into space, and the other one is really difficult. Mm-mm. I want to be Tinkerbell and set off the fireworks over Disneyland.
Oh, that would be cool.
And I will be able to go into space easier than I will be able to be Tinkerbell.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I know.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying.
I wonder if you could get someone to CGI you.
Possibly. Well, I don't know. It's the thing. I know. Everything else I think I can do myself. I can climb.
Have you been to the private club at Disneyland?
Oh. I have.
I have.
Have you?
No.
Yeah.
I'm black. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, everybody. We got Jason
Stewart
on the phone.
I saw Michael Jackson going in there. Oh, you said you were black. I'm sorry. I was mistaken.
I have Jason
you
Stewart.
You are? I didn't notice.
Jason Stewart,
hey,
welcome.
How are you,
my friend? I'm here with Carolyn Hennessy and Jeffrey Paul Morgan, L.A. Weiss, Radon Chong is here, Glenn Marcinak, and we're hanging. Hello. Jason, like Radon, are also both members of our advisory board, and I'm so excited.
Hey,
yay.
Jason.
How are you, my friend?
Well, thank
you. I can't
you.
Hear you, but hi.
I'm very excited to be on the show and to be in the company of all these wonderful people, and especially Radon Chong, who I'm a big fan of.
Aw, thank you. Are you big? No, I'm just kidding. When people say that, I always laugh. It's like, you have a big heart, and I appreciate it.
I am big.
Oh, I hold you. I hold your bigness with lots of love. Thank you.
Jason, you were so sweet because when I told you that I was doing the show, we were at a party, and I ran into you. And I told you that I was doing the show, and you said, I want to do your Raising the Vibration show because this is what I'm really all about. And that's why I knew you'd be a perfect person for the advisory board. And I was telling you yesterday that Jason's best friend is Alexandra Paul, and I met her through him, and she is also so on our advisory board. And isn't it lovely when one of my favorite things, because Jason and I were at an Easter party yesterday, and I was telling him this, one of my favorite things in the whole world, as you all know, at Billy's, one of my favorite things in the whole world is tribe. And so to meet people that I love that are best friends, it's like everyone's tribe connects and then tribe grows. And I love that.
It's just hard wearing, it's hard wearing all the makeup all the time and the headdress.
I know. I know. And the feathers will to make it dusty.
It's all balance.
And the bangles, it's just, it's exhausting.
I'm not wasn't America beautiful back in the day, back at the turn of the century when all these gorgeous...
Yeah. I'm not talking about spiritual balance.
Guys are running around half naked and women. I mean, it was beautiful. Yeah. America was beautiful.
America, and America still is beautiful.
It has its moments.
It's beautiful.
It has its
moments. I will always believe in her. As
I agree with you.
As I believe in Mother Earth, I will always believe in Mother America.
I want it to be prettier lately. It hasn't been impressing me.
Okay, we're going to work on that for you. Jason?
We need it to be a little prettier.
We're working. We just have to get rid of one color, orange. That's it.
Which is really sad because it's my favorite.
Anyway. It's your favorite color?
Because it's the Tibetan, it's the Lama color. I've always loved that sunny-ass orange.
My orange.
It's my Irish color because I'm an Irish Protestant, so I'm an Irishman.
So I don't even want him to claim it.
I have to say mine too. Attorney because the Vanity Fair has my friend Lena Waite on the cover, and the letters are in orange, so it's sort of an F-U to you-know-who.
Sure, sure. But you've managed
the first
to stay
black lesbian woman on the cover of out black lesbian woman on the cover of Vanity Fair. So that
you can't even get a person of color on the cover of Vanity Fair since what's his name? Graydon's not there anymore. So now maybe we'll see some change. But what a great
it's beautiful.
What a great thing! I'm so happy.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a big
first
fan.
Cover from this woman or the second? Yes, it was really exciting to see somebody like her who I had met years and years ago when I was. I'm the co-chair of the Screen Actors Guild AFTRA LGBT committee, which is about giving opportunities to out actors. And she had come in and written this piece that we did the showcase for. I forgot what it was for, but it was at the Village Gay and Lesbian Center. And she had written this piece, and I was in one of them. And I guess we met, and I just followed her work. And then when I got in Birth of a Nation, we were doing all these red carpet things and she was around and I kept thinking, how do I know her? And she was so sweet and so kind and we've kept in touch during this exciting time for her. So I'm really, you know, it's just great to be on the sidelines watching somebody write their own stuff, act in their own stuff, be a hyphenate.
And
I was
blossom.
Being a hyphenate was such a weird, nobody, you know, they'd say, oh, you can't, you had to do some comedy or you had to write. Now everybody does everything. Which is sort of wonderful.
Is this a good time to just say really quick, for anybody who has not seen Birth of a Nation, Jason, you are brilliant in it.
Yes.
You're very evil and very terrible, but you are very brilliant.
Well,
it
was an honor to be in this movie to tell the story of Nat Turner through the African-American point of view. And I don't know, we've talked about this before. I was often asked on red carpets and interviews and parties and things, you know, how do I feel about it? And I say, what I do is I took off my shoes and I put on the shoes, you know, of my brothers and sisters in the African-American community. And I just shut up and I listened to what people had to say. And I said, because my opinion really didn't matter. And it was something I learned really, really strongly that it's about being heard. It's not being about giving your opinion always about how you feel about it. It doesn't really matter. And I'm just sort of thrilled to be a part of that. And people kept saying, how did you feel about playing someone so evil? I said, well, I'm a part of this story. I'm a part of telling this story. And that's what was so exciting. That's what I've always wanted to do as an artist, is to have the opportunities to be a part of, you know, telling these great stories so people can see things and maybe change their point of view, go into the dark and go, oh my God, I had no idea. Or, oh my God, I'm not wrong. That this is where these feelings come from.
Absolutely. Well, and don't you think that, just talking a little bit about our country, that if all of us who are women, I mean, we could stop right with that because we're over 50% of the population, but people of color, people who are differently abled, people of different religions that are not evangelical Christianity, folks who are part of the LGBTQIA community, folks with gender differences, the intersex community of which I am a part, if we all just got together and loved each other, there would be no hater patriarchy anymore.
You have to clarify what you mean by love. Free love?
Well, that's equal. Well,
I mean, is it emotional? Because this is what's a frightening thing to Pence.
Spiritual love.
Have you seen?
If we all sent warm light and love and energy to each other and said, look, the buck stops here. We're now the majority of America, and we're saying no more hate, no more abuse, no more bigotry. We could do that because we're the majority, but we need to get it together within ourselves and within our own communities.
I think we're starting to. I think the Me Too.
Did you see Marlon Brando? Did you see John Marlon Brando?
You're right, Jason. Yes, imagine.
40 years ago.
Yes.
And I think the planet has been going in that direction, but I think sometimes, and I've been told by people that, you know, wonderful philosophers and wonderful people, and sometimes you have to go up 10, you know, we had Obama, we went up 10 steps, and then they made us go back. I didn't realize we'd have 5,000
steps
far to get back again.
Did
but
you
that,
see?
You know,
have you heard
that's what happens in terms of our society? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Jason, have you heard of, John Oliver, you know who John Oliver is, right?
Oh, of course.
So he's written a new book called Marlon Brando, which is the answer book to Pence's book. Pence has a rabbit in the White House, and its name is Marlon Brando with an I. And John Oliver, because is so suspicious and really dislikes Pence, as we all do, has written a answer book called Marlon with an O, Marlon Brando, and he's gay. Well, and the book is outselling the Pence book.
Yeah.
And it is, and all the proceeds are going to the Trevor Organization and Trevor Project. And it is so good. So if you Google John Oliver, Marlon Brando, you will see his 21-minute diatribe about Mike Pence and his anti.
You know what?
Wasn't Mike Pence's book. It was his daughter's book. His daughter's children's book.
For 30 minutes. Yeah.
But it's
because it's a little hard sometimes.
You mean Mike Pence? It's hard to watch Mike Pence or John Oliver.
Both.
You will really. I think it's
Pence
super.
Speak, does he?
Well, this is the thing. He points out how Mike Pence is really. He claims he isn't into. You know, what is that therapy when you, the ungay therapy? Pence claims publicly that he's not for this, but yet he supports the man who is absolutely viciously evangelically doing it, the guy who has the Focus Family First.
Yeah.
And this guy, if you see. Focus on the Family is Dobbins.
Well, if we have to all back and do this reconversion therapy, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have to do it like 10 times over.
No. This is the good.
I'm going to cost the country so much money. It's going to be so hard to change me back. I think by the time they get done, everybody's going to go, oh, forget this. Jason can't. We're going to just let him be himself. It's just too much.
Jason, I knew you when I was right before I went through my. I went through the conversion therapy.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. And I came out alive. I was in it for 5 years.
Oh, my God.
And I knew Jason before I went into it. And
who is this speaking
this
again?
Is
forgive me, I'm on
Jeffrey
the phone.
Paul Morgan.
Hi, it's Jeffrey. Jeffrey Paul?
Oh, of course. How are you?
Okay. Okay, do I have to?
No,
it's good.
Anyway, so.
Back to the conversion therapy.
Yeah, but I mean, what Jason got to luck out, he never saw me going through it.
Oh, man.
And so I have been through it, so if you want. You can ask me questions.
I just saw. There was a South Park episode that I saw last night and it was about this whole thing. They kept coming upon these poor kids. They'd open a door and someone had hung themselves or shot themselves. It was just horrible.
It was.
No, but the guy who runs it is so weirdly gay and pedophilic. I mean, the first thing they show John Oliver shows is a piece of tape on him, and the man is talking about poking 3-year-old boys in the bum.
Yeah.
So the truth is we're talking about men that are so dysfunctional. Who are hiding their own homosexuality by torturing America.
But
well,
I,
how many of those people have come out?
Well,
these guys that are there railing against, you know.
If you push around, you know, a square peg into a round box, it just doesn't work.
No.
And what you do is you break it and you scrape it up and you just ruin it.
Right.
Okay,
you ruin this beautiful triangle, trying to get it into a square. It just doesn't work.
Just to hide your own inability
to
see who you are.
Well, that's another thing that I'm hoping is going to happen in our country. That we are the trickle down from the Puritans, the people who were so creepily religious that Europe kicked them out. And they were the weirdos, and then Europe kicked them out. And we have a lot of that in us still. And hopefully, as we're working through things now that this administration has kind of set off as a country, and we're working through our spiritual and our emotional stuff, mm-hmm. part of what we're going to work through is all of the repression. Because I think a lot of why this country has always been less sex and more violence is because we have so much sexual repression here. And we just need to work through it and not have to feel so pent up all the time. And I understand
it is
we
underneath
came from different
all
people.
Crime.
It's under a lot, yes.
It's underneath, if crime. Not 99.9% of crime.
Our millennial
mm-hmm.
speaks.
I was going to say, back when my dad went to Denmark, I think I was 10, so about 18 years ago, he saw an advertisement for Macbeth. And Lady Macbeth was right there on the billboard, topless.
Mm-hmm.
You would never, ever, ever, ever see that here in L.A.
Yeah.
Ever. Mm-hmm. And he just like...
Off-damaged shirt.
Yeah, he's just like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So that was my two cents.
Well, we live in California is a very, very special place. And Los Angeles isn't even more. And as I have traveled around the world, more so in the United States, I really see that we live in this incredible... bubble of lattes and peace and love and art and theater and film and television and books. And we live in this place where you can find yoga or a 12-step program that fits you. And I just love being in this bubble. I would, you know, so I used to think, you know, that I was going to move someplace sometime in my life. But I got to tell you, with everything that's going on, I want to take California and sort of cut it off and make it our own.
A lot of people do.
Let Jerry Brown be our leader forever.
We love him so much.
Or at least on our advisory board. But Gavin Newsom is running, and
exactly.
he seems like an incredible.
And Kamala,
guy,
so Kamala's good too.
Going to become.
We have a lot of good people from California.
Jason, thank you so much for calling in, sweetie, and being part of my birthday. I love you so much,
it's
and we've
nice
been friends
meeting
for
you.
So long.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you again, Jason, for the kind words. It was rough,
everybody
but I'm here.
Call me or text me or...
Yeah, nice or stay in touch.
Tweet me or something.
And thank
love
you for
you
being
all.
On this
take
board.
Care.
I'm honored.
Bye.
One of the things that I really am working on, JP and I are putting together maybe some gatherings where we all can come, and I'm going to speak a little bit and then just open the crowd up and let people talk about how they're feeling. Like, Carolyn, you were saying earlier that people feel like, you know, people feel like they can't speak openly because other people
we were
are
talking
not letting
about,
them speak.
About Breonna Brown's...
People supper.
And
doing kind of a vibration supper where everyone, you know, 50 people can come and we can all kind of talk about how we're feeling. And then maybe afterwards have a little reception with some music and some goodies where people can just have a little meet and greet and make new friends. Because I think some people are lonely. I think a lot of people don't have a lot of people to talk to.
Has anybody been watching Wild Wild Country about the Rajneesh cult? Has anybody seen that?
No.
I meant it's really good.
I mean, it is the most fascinating thing. And when you said that about the dinners, I was thinking everything starts with good intentions, and I really agree that people are lonely. I tend to talk to everyone when I walk my dog. I say hi to all my neighbors, and just because I think it's important that we touch each other.
I do the same thing, yeah.
And but watching, and then I was reading something about Scientology and about this woman who escaped it. Were you going to say something? And then I was thinking about cults in general. I was thinking a lot of good things come from Synanon, like things where it's about getting people sober, getting connection, and free love, you know.
Yeah.
And yet there's this funny, I'm not 100% sure, so I'm getting somewhere. I'm not 100% sure that the earth plane allows for a more evolved connecting. But I do think it's good exercise.
Yes.
To when you a group gathers to have an intention.
Yes.
To have a voted leader.
Yeah.
For that night, not for the whole thing, so they don't have the burden. But someone just you're going to lead wherever you want to take us.
Yes.
And even if you draw straws, and it's important just to focus so that it's not just getting together and aren't we great and groovy? Because we are great and groovy, but we could be more effective.
I agree.
And then you have to also hold the fact that cults can form in the quick. quickest ways.
I promise not to start a cult.
No,
absolutely promise.
Because that's the thing.
I don't.
At the end of the
day. I'll tell you something.
Hello, we have a caller calling in right now.
Erica, are you with us?
No, this is Betsy.
Betsy, are you with us?
Who's with us?
Hi. Betsy, hang on 1 second because we need to let Carolyn go. But I just want to say before that that L.A. Weiss here has been my best friend since I was 14. This Leo, if I tried to turn this into a cult, I would get bitch slapped so fast.
I was going to say, oh, yeah, it'll never happen.
We need to let Carolyn go.
I have to dash. I love you more.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Love you.
It was
love
fun.
You.
Thank
love
you.
You. Love you.
Thank
love
you.
You. So meet lovely you. Meeting
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Betsy, welcome. Betsy, of course, is the director of What the Bleep Do We Know and a very dear friend of mine and part of our advisory board and the second person who ever did this show right after Carolyn. And it's wonderful to have you here, my friend, and welcome, and thank you for being a part of this. Three members of our Vibrational Council are here, Jeffrey J.P. Morgan, L.A. Weiss, Glenn Marcinak, and my friend Ray Dawn Chong, who's on our advisory board with you, is here as well. Hi.
Hi, everybody.
I can go closer to you. Oh, my hair.
How are you feeling, my friend? How are you feeling? We're talking a little bit about the world and about how I believe that we're going to be able to put more love into the world, and that I have faith that we are going to love ourselves through this, whatever's going on in our country, this crisis of divisiveness.
So I am in the moment, in this very moment, practicing that very concept as my beautiful, amazing, probably gorgeous neighbor for the last 5 days has been doing some sort of building of something. Bless him, he's working with his hands.
Oh,
but he kind of has been doing it like all day, and it's that sawing, and I'm trying to edit, so I'm like breathing and loving him through it. So I am literally practicing that right now, because part of me wants to just go over to the fence and like leap over there and kind of throttle him with the device that he's been using. But I won't, because I'm going to be love and patience and kindness.
Good for you. It's hard, right? Sometimes it's hard. In everything in our lives, LA earlier was talking about road raging, and for me, it's people who are inconsiderate to each other. When I see people being cruel and inconsiderate to each other, I want to walk up to them in a store and say, well, you know, what the F do you think you're doing? But that's not my job, because then that just puts negative intention into the world.
It's a constant practice, but it's moments like this when I go, you know what? This is good. This is good for you, because, you know, good for him that he's over there building something. Rock on with his bad self, right?
Yeah, it's hard.
Like,
yeah.
Really. Like, he's not, like, you know, in his basement watching Fox News, right? So there's something to be said for that. So I just got to say, okay, you know what? Like, I'm sure, like, we are, like, the loudest family on this block. I kid you not. You know, I'm, like, screaming at my kids, and they're loud, and Lord knows what else is going on. So, you know what? I have to, like, but it's one of those moments where you go, you know what? This is what it requires to live in...
Did we lose you, Betsy?
Oh, shoot. Resume call.
Happy birthday!
That's not Betsy.
It's happy birthday.
Hi.
I don't know.
How are you?
Hello? Hey, hang on.
Who is that?
Are we on what?
Hey, Erica.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. Everybody was talking. I couldn't hear your voice. First, I thought you were Carol Channing on meth. Not that that's a thing.
Happy birthday,
Betsy, call us back in a few. I think you got stuck. Poor JP got.
She's on now with merged.
Oh, are you guys merged? Betsy, can you hear us?
Hello,
Betsy.
Hello.
Okay, Erica. Hi. Thanks for calling in for my birthday.
Sing happy birthday again.
How are you?
Happy. That was really funny.
So Erica had the privilege of being asked to join the advisory board when I was in Walmart. That's a true story. We were kind of having a heart-to-heart.
Uh-oh.
I'm doing something wrong.
No, you're not. You're fine. Erica, talk for a second.
Hi, it's me.
Hi, Betsy. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, good. We lost you somehow.
I lost you.
JP has learned to engineer tonight for me on the fly, and he's wonderful. And he's doing a great job considering I just taught him really quickly. But I love what you said, sweetheart, that we need to just kind of give people a break and let them be who they are. Now, let me say really quick before Raydon says something that doesn't mean if people are acting inappropriate or they are not walking in the light, if they are doing things that are negative, then we don't need, that's not okay. But if people are just being
boundaries, of course.
If people are just being idiosyncratic and goofy, sometimes people do things that annoy each other. There's a lot of us on this planet, and there's a lot of us in this city. I mean, there's a lot. So we have to.
I would say you have to set boundaries, and you have to decide. I have a term I use with my kids all the time. It's called "In the light of all eternity." This is the question I ask myself: In the light of all eternity, is this worth it?
Oh, I like that.
Is this worth reacting to? Like, it just happened to my son. He's playing a video game, and I kind of relinquished and let him get a headset so he could talk to other players. And some player, like, sent him a nasty remark. And I was just like, in the light of all eternity, dude, that, like that guy's like nothing. Ignore it and move on.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have to learn how. So, to me,
do we feel that way about Ted Nugent?
No. Well,
do we feel that way about Ted Nugent in the light of all eternity?
Hang on a sec, because I'm going to answer that. L.A.?
Yeah. Oh, no, I was just going to say it's such a nicer way of saying what I say to my daughter.
Uh-oh, which is what?
Because my daughter's 9, and she's temperamental, let's just say. And she'll have these huge meltdowns over really small things. And I literally say to her, is anyone going to die from this? And she'll just look at me, no. And I'll say, well, then knock it off.
Oh,
so just getting her perspective. Well, because I literally almost died like a year and a half ago. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's not a reality. And you know, so perspective is when I'm like, look, no one's going to die from this. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But yours is so much more gentle and pretty. I like it.
It's Pisces versus Leo.
I was just going to say my 13-year-old, I used to say that to her. And then one time I said that to her and she looked at me and she sobbed and she said, yes, I am. And I was like, oh, that doesn't work anymore.
She did pull me on that once. And I just said, no, really? It didn't kill you last week. It's, you know, math didn't kill you last week. It's not going to kill you this week.
Now on to Ted Nugent.
Well, I mean, I just can't believe that the guy has a microphone, and I know I shouldn't be a bigot against bigots, but he just bugs me
much. Well, we were talking about
he's picking on kids,
people
right now,
who walk in the light. And
I love David Hogg. I want David Hogg to be accepted to Princeton, Yale, and Harvard. Full boat. I want them to get smart and pick that beauty up. I mean, it's the loss of the UCs, San Diego and UCLA. But this guy is.
Oh, by the way, I'm back online, guys.
Oh, hi,
Erica.
David Hogg is so cool, and I think he's LGBT.
I don't know that.
I think he might be, maybe. I don't know, but he's young, so it's an open question.
For that generation, everybody's everything.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Nobody talks about the Gen Zers very much. And I have to say, like, even statistically, you know, the reason Gen the Ted Nugents are screaming at the top of their lungs is because they're dying. And so there's this whole Gen...
Not
the millennials, everyone wants to talk about the millennials, but, like, the woman who has a 9-year-old, just hang out with the Gen Zers. They will not tolerate any of this crap.
Yeah, yeah, they're kind of saving the country right now.
Right,
those kids.
And like with
my
daughter.
It depends on which Gen Zers you're talking to.
Yeah, it depends on who's raising them. You know, like my daughter.
Which echo chamber are you in?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm old to have a 9-year-old. I'm 53, and And like
my, one sec, guys.
Oh, sorry.
No, LA, you go.
Okay. And so, like my daughter, the first time she ever saw, you know, I don't know, I was flipping channels and like Catfish or something was on, and this guy walked up to a guy and gave him some flowers and gave him a kiss, and she was like 4, and she said, "Why is that boy giving that boy flowers and not giving them to a girl?" And I said, well, because some boys like boys, some boys like girls, some girls like girls. I went through the whole gamut. I said, that's just how it is. And she was like, oh, you know, and that's it. And like, and all the people, like, we have, even though looking at me, a lot of women try to hit on me since my hair came out from chemo and grew back in, because I'm not the most feminine person anyway, you know, so like I guess I have a look now. And, but you know, I was raised very you know, kind of, I guess, liberal in a single-parent home. But my daughter now, like, you know, we have all these, you know, we have friends that are gay, in between, whatever. And so when she meets them, she'll ask me afterward, oh, are so-and-so and so-and-so a couple? And I'll say yes, and that's it. I mean, that just is what it is.
Yeah.
And earlier when Ray Dawn was saying the thing about the repression and all of this and it being like this underlying factor of all these things that go on, I've just never understood why anybody cares who anybody is as long as they aren't hurting anyone. And if everybody could just be okay with people being themselves as long as they aren't hurting anyone, then so many of our, you know, societal problems would disappear because people could be free to be happy who they are, be who they are, and they wouldn't have all of this underlying angst.
And I think we're flushing out a lot of haters. Betsy?
I just want to answer your question about, like, what bubble. I'm really great. Like, one of the things that I've tried to do in my life, partially by design and partially by my bank account, is that, you know, I live in an area that is, like, heavily diverse. And so my daughter is actually one of the few white kids at her school. And I get to hang out with all these, her friends. And they come from, like, you know, there's Armenian, there's Mexican, there's some sort of Indian wonderful girl, and they're all over the place, and they're all over, like, eco-socionomical backgrounds, you know, different. Some of them have money, some of them don't have any money, and they're boys and they're girls, and they all hang out, and it's been very interesting because I get them all in my car, and it's funny, my daughter's like, Mom, can you not, like, interview my friends about their thoughts and philosophies on the universe today? And so I'm like, come on,
does she even know you?
No, but they all like hanging out with me, which is cool. And so they'll come over, and I'll sit with them, and I'll ask them, like, well, what do you think about what's happening in this world? And, you know, they're kind of angry. They're pissed off. And what they basically say to me is, we just kind of hope you people can not blow up the earth in the next 20 years so we can take over this place and clean it up. I mean, and yeah, these are kids from all different backgrounds. They're all eighth graders. And that's what gives me hope. You know, it's like I love talking to those kids because they don't have the same experience that, you know, my daughter has had, for sure. And it that's what gives me hope, is when you sit with the kid who's, you know, been in and out of foster care, been in GD when he was young, and has every reason to be the most depressed, miserable, unhappy kid in the world. And, you know, he's finally, now he's been with his dad again, hoping he can stay. But he's optimistic, and he's smart, and he's figuring out, like, well, you know, I'm really working hard because I'm going to get an education because I want to fix this thing. And when I meet kids like that and I see that they have hope, then I have hope.
Yeah, so I agree.
But not to be a buzzkill.
Okay, don't be a buzzkill, Ray.
But this, you know that saying of a cornered animal? And this guy in the White House is a cornered animal. And a lot of times sociopathic people create more crises and more stuff in order to deflect, because they know that the hammer's coming down.
Sure, and I think we're seeing that, but I also think that it's going to
get
flushed
out. Hold on. Now, that's an oblique threat. What is the hammer coming down? What does that mean?
It means that Robert Mueller is probably going to indict him, and I'm thinking if he goes in for his deposition, they may just slap the cuffs on him, just because he's a flight risk. He'll disappear
at
Mar-a-Lago.
If that doesn't happen, then what?
What do you mean? But that
doesn't happen. Who do we have? Who's left after Trump is gone?
Well, it'll go down in the chain because I'm hoping that Robert Mueller will indict the whole administration. Let me just finish.
Any better?
No. Let me finish.
Yeah,
the whole administration is going to be arrested.
Everybody love on my birthday.
And then what's going to happen is they're going to call the election illegitimate. And they're going to allow her to come in and clean up the mess. That's my birthday wish for us.
That's my birthday wish for me.
I was going to say, and but don't forget, I don't know everybody, that we are here to celebrate.
Your birthday
I don't know that's actually what's going to happen because
my
of this.
Birthday wish is a.
Well, what is your birthday wish for Sheena, Erica? Hi, it's JP.
Erica, welcome, and thank you for being on our advisory board.
Here's what's cool. So the good news is that actually, if you take a higher level look down on what's happening, is that we've been in this very patriarchal, capitalistic materialism system for a very long time.
7,000 years.
Yeah. And
9,000 maybe.
Well, materialism hasn't necessarily been 7,000 years, but yes. So what's really interesting is you start to look at, for instance, I just was reading today, you know, they're talking about the car emissions law that the EPA is thinking about abolishing. And, you know, this is something that came in during the Obama administration. And what all the car companies basically said to the EPA is, well, you can abolish that, but we've already retooled. We already are in production on all those vehicles anyway, so it's going to cost us a lot more money. So we're just going to stick with it. And, you know, and most of the states are already passing laws that are going to require it anyway. So, and that's happening in a lot of different industries. Now, for sure, there are certain places where that's not happening. But in most of the industries, especially people are most concerned about all the laws that are being blown up by the EPA. And more than we getting Trump rid of Trump, we need to get rid of Scott Pruitt. But
hang on.
The interesting thing is, the most of those rules that they're abolishing, the companies and organizations, the capitalists are saying, well, it's actually not in our best interest because our consumer doesn't want us to do that, and the people that make our money from don't want us to do that, and we've already retooled our entire system to do that. So there's a piece of good news in that the capitalists aren't always following Trump and his lead.
Oh, that is good news.
Erica,
how do you feel about this?
Are we going to be politically attacking capitalism?
No.
On your birthday?
No. We love capitalism.
We're not attacking capitalism.
We're all about free market.
We're actually pro-capitalism. We're saying it's nice that the capitalists, the people who own the businesses, are saying we don't necessarily want Trump to get rid of all this stuff. Mm-hmm. We want capitalism to prevail, and that's what's best for our companies and our consumers.
And some of the most wealthy countries have the biggest, fattest social network.
Yeah.
You know, Norway, Finland, all of the countries that Denmark, countries that have very strong national GDPs and very capitalistic, but they also have a very strong social network. I mean, it's a Republican lie that they say that their budget, that they're deficit hawks, and that they want, and the first thing they go after is social networks. I mean, what they really need to say is the truth, which is therefore everyone else
can
to suffer.
Can you give me an example of which company you're referring to? Are you talking about Scandinavian countries?
Yeah, I'm talking about Denmark. I'm talking about Norway. I'm talking about Finland. I'm talking about Iceland. I'm talking about even Canada.
On my birthday, I'm going to cut in. So, Erica, I can sense that you
realize we are subsidizing. Do you realize we are subsidizing?
I can sense, Erica, that you've got some angst. So why don't you tell us, sweetheart? What,
The conversation started with number one, attacking capitalism.
No one's attacking capitalism.
The white patriarchy.
Who attacks capitalism?
Nobody attacks capitalism.
We're all capitalists.
Political softball playing bouncy, bouncy, bouncy.
We're all capitalists, and nobody has mentioned.
Happy birthday, Sheena.
Thank you, Erica. Nobody's mentioned any white capitalism. No one said the word white. Everyone's fine. I can just tell that
I heard patriarchy.
I said the old established patriarchy. I never attached anything to it. I just said patriarchy. I said that we as women.
Old established patriarchy.
Well, it is the old established patriarchy.
Happens to be white, by the way.
Are we scapegoating? Okay. All right. We will dump all our problems and all of our venom and resentment and envy on the old.
We didn't even do that. Sweetheart, nobody's dumping anything. We're just talking positivity and love.
Let's just and so is this your tribe?
Towards the old scarred patriarchy.
No.
Right? Just love towards them, right?
Only
love?
And I said, sweetheart, that of all of us who have ever felt oppressed.
Wow, that was so unloving.
I'm taking over on my birthday because I'm the Aries, so everyone step back a bit. If everybody who's ever been bullied or picked on, including women like you, Erica, trans people like you, Erica, artists like you, Erica, super smart people like you, Erica, and all the different things that I am, and everybody in this room who all has their share of isms, Betsy, L.A., J.P., Jeff, Glenn, welcome, Jeff Laura, all of us, if all of us got together in love and said no more haters, we could stop the haters.
Good. Is that the question?
Because there are more of us than there are of them. That's the statement. That's what you really walked in the middle of.
Okay. Here's what I missed. My call dropped and there was this conversation that I didn't have and all of a sudden.
That's okay.
Okay, who are the haters?
No one's the haters are people who don't want others to have rights, who want to repeal people's rights. The haters are people who want a country to be full of people only like them. and no one else be included. Glenn has to go. We love you, Glenn. Bye-bye.
Love you guys. I'll be back soon.
We'll see you soon, my friend. The haters are people who want to restrict freedoms instead of enable them. The haters are people who come from a place of negativity.
Who don't want gun laws.
And not from a place of positivity. And not for understanding that what's best for everybody overall is what we have to deal with when governing a nation, because a nation is a body of people, and we have to make some concessions for what's good for everyone.
Did Erica vote for Trump?
You
wanted to talk about politics on your birthday?
No, huh? I wanted to talk about love on my birthday, and politics just came up.
I did it singing. I had songs prepared, music, entertainment. It's your birthday.
I love you, my friend. And you know what? We're about Gina? Betsy. Betsy.
Gina, here's a way to start with some love.
Okay.
Here's a way to change that into love.
Hang on, Erica. Betsy's going to start with some love.
How about, instead of calling them haters, call them unaware? Because the minute you call them a hater is such a charged word, so you just call them unaware. Uneducated. If you're really interested, like, the thing is, like, we all want to talk about love. We all want to be like, let's just love each other. And then we go, those friggin' haters. And, like, that's, like, we hate on them. So if you really want to be in about how do we create love, you know, I spent some of my life dealing with some of those
people. Right. I shouldn't have used the word hater. That's my bad. And so, you're right, Betsy.
Yeah. No, it's not a bad thing. It's just, like, but here's the thing. Like, if we understand how our brains work and we understand how meaning works in our brain, and how words and language impact us physiologically, emotionally, psychologically, neurologically. So if you think about language, that's the key that we all humans use to communicate.
Yeah.
So a great practice for anyone who's trying to go, I want to love more in my life. But if you really want to go, okay, people are talking about love, I want to love more in my life, here's a crazy thing to do. Just try it for a day. Watch your language. Watch how many times you use language on yourself, on your kids, on your friends, on other people that is really not love. And so for me, if you really want to think in terms of let's live in love, I had to really stop saying, you know what, I had to stop calling people that don't agree with me a name that was negative.
Yeah. You're right, and I shouldn't have said that, and that's mine. But I do believe that one of the missions of this movement, as you all know, is to fight negativity, and some people fill themselves with negativity, and I would like to eliminate that
negativity
by putting positivity into those people. Exactly, that's the way to do it.
That's it.
To shift it, and that's really what it's all about.
Instead of saying fight, let's shift it.
But then also
so
one of the
negativity is energy.
One of the other
negativity is energy.
One of the other missions of this movement, as you know, Erica and Betsy and everybody here, is to open up discussions and let people talk about how they're really feeling. So yes, it is my birthday, and yes, I love that you prepared songs, Erica. When people feel like they need to talk about something.
I started off singing. I had voices too.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
When somebody wants to bring something up and they want to do it, then I let them bring it up. And everyone here is friends, and this is a safe space. And this is not a space where anybody is discriminated against for how they voted or for what they believe. This is a place where we want to become more of a unified nation through conversation.
And understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sheena, I have to go because I'm.
Bye, Betsy.
Dinner, but
I love you so much. Thanks for calling in. What do you want to say, sweetie?
Happy birthday to you. I love you. I'm grateful
happy
for
birthday.
You.
Thank you,
keep
honey.
Doing all that you're doing in the world.
Thank you.
And just know that I'm humbled to be in your energy sphere.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. And you too, Erica. I've got to let you go
everybody.
Too, sweetheart. Thank you for being my friend.
Bye.
Did I lose them both?
Yep.
Okay. I have not had time to talk to you, really. You came in the middle of a big discussion.
Yeah.
I'm honored that you're my friend, and
I'm
honored
that
you're here.
I just was like, I just got into this whole thing, and I was thinking of all the judgment that was coming up inside of me, and I was thinking about, you know, the Latinos that voted for Trump, and then the trans people that voted for Trump, and then, you know, the black people that voted for Trump, and, You know, and they still are going on television shows and they're talking about his.
There is, I have three friends, three different friends that since the election have become, maybe four, have become very, very pro everything this administration's doing. But they have a right. Everyone has a right to believe what they believe. And I believe in everyone's mm-hmm. right to. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a free country.
No, for sure. And then I was thinking about like how the stock, the irony of it is the stock market's crashing. Mm-hmm. We're about to hit a really good recession. And the EPA guy, people, or the people. And so, you know, just so much really intense stuff is happening. Sure. And then at the same time, he says stuff like DACA's no good, and you know, and this is gonna rip families apart. People are gonna be deported who've never been to the countries of origin.
I know.
Well, but I don't know about you, but I don't do well when I get
thrust into. And I don't believe politically in any of that, but I do believe in America, and I do believe in people, and I do believe that.
I'm getting somewhere. The thing that's so funny is that when we talk about this, though. There's a sense of, you're not, the first defense is you're not a capitalist. You don't believe in free market.
I know.
And I find that fascinating because all these things
by
that
the way,
programs,
I am an absolute capitalist.
But think about it, all the things that these programs are doing are not bringing capitalism to its peak and its fullness. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brownback, who was the governor of Kansas, cut all these taxes.
Yeah.
Bankrupted the state.
Yep.
It was the perfect example of how the Republican platform doesn't work.
Yes, it was. You're absolutely right.
And everyone ignored it, really. Do you remember what happened?
Jeff, welcome,
Jeff. I'm going to interject
the amazing Jeff Flora was here, part of our Vibration Council.
And see if I can turn this a little bit into a positive. Because one of the things, again, that I think actually is a good thing that's happened, if I can actually say that, because I know... A lot of stuff that's happening and the games they're playing in the government is it's not right. But three things that Trump had done that he tried to do, like with the Syrian refugees, it was blocked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the good thing, there actually is a positive thing that's happened. I know this is shocking, but there's a positive thing that's happened with this last election, and that is people are now questioning the government.
Yeah, questioning everything.
We pay them. We're their bosses. We have a right for accountability.
And not only questioning, they're saying no.
No, but I think this next election that's coming up is going to be significant. I've talked to Sheena about this before, and to me, the most significant thing that concerned me in the last election was not Trump, was the fact that how did the Republicans get both houses?
Right.
That was scary.
Gerrymandering.
Especially since they got the majority of a lot of Democratic states. So there's more to that, I would say.
But also we can't even look at the last election as this straight up fair and square situation. They are still actually scratching their noggin saying, oh my God, these voting machines were hacked.
Yeah.
They're not even talking about that. So the electoral colleges and all of the gerrymandered states and all the voter suppression, it made a difference. This is what the judicial branch is saying. It made a difference, which is why the Supreme Court is saying, no, you can't gerrymander.
Yeah.
And this is a conservative Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And they're stepping up. This is another good thing that Trump's done. He's made people who would normally be on blindly following that side, he's made them come up and say, I'm for truth over party.
Yeah. I mean, just look at what happened with the demonstrations for the kids and the arms and stuff. I mean, that's...
It's juicy and
that's
beautiful.
That's significant. That's a lot of people. And in all those cities, that's a lot
that's
of people.
4 million voters coming.
People are not just accepting status quo, whether he said... You know, so like, for example, with DACA. Personally... I don't think what he says is going to happen is going to happen because there's too many people that are not into that. They're against what he's saying. And I think we can change it. This is the first time in many years that the people have exercised and actually taken control of their government. And I mean,
it's
just
really good.
Well, and people have been forced out of their apathy. You know,
yes,
it's
yes,
hard to
yes.
sit by no matter where you are on the spectrum. To just sit by and just be like, oh, politics really isn't my business, or I'm not political, or I'm not this, or I'm not that. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I think we're all guilty of it at some point in our lives, but there really isn't any room for apathy now. And I think people see that when we keep having elections that, regardless of who, because we've had too many of them right. in the last however many years, that are so close, yeah. you know, and our society isn't that 50-50, no. I don't think, you know, so I yeah. just, I'm just glad that people, regardless of where they stand, are getting involved.
Yeah.
But you know, the Gore, Bush race was really soul killing, because it turned out that the ballot in Florida,
pregnant chads,
the ballot in Florida that Jeb Bush was in charge of was so confusing, it looked like a Carmen Sandiego map.
Well, a friend of mine that voted at this election, he went in, and they had already marked his name off. And they said, did you check ID? And they said, I wasn't here when they did that. How could they let that person vote when my friend has his driver's license?
It's unbelievable.
They're supposed to look at your driver's license.
You voted 10 minutes ago. You were a lovely German gentleman.
Yes.
A Russian gentleman. That was my...
But I mean,
Freudian slip.
But that's the yeah, that's the thing. That's yes, true. The Bush elections. Yeah, that was just
soul
heinous.
Killing.
And they just like, oh, we lost all those
ballots.
And the ballots.
And the reason why they actually, the Supreme Court, I remember they said, we see there's a problem. We see there's irregularities, but it just would be better for the country if we just let them have 4 more years.
Yeah.
And I think people like Lee Atwater and Roger Stone and the Paul Manafort's, they know there is this apathy, there is this laziness in the process, there's no oversight, mm-hmm. they know there's a lot of corruption.
Well, that's how it happened.
Well, the corruption's so blatant now. That's the point. They're getting so, I mean, it's out in the open. And I think, yeah, and then the other thing, and my message is to our government, and I'm not being negative, is, you know, he's talking about DACA, he's talking about some of the other stuff. What about what you promised?
Mm.
You know, day one, before the election,
bringing
you
jobs
said,
back.
You said, mm-hmm. you know, we had a solution for our medical.
Yeah.
And where is that?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? They said, we're going to implement it right away. Mm-hmm. And
day one.
I'm still waiting.
Day one.
So why don't you focus on the tasks at hand that you promised, and let's get that done first. Let's get that taken care of, because that's what people need. And it's not I'm not trying to be partisan or judgmental. This is not a pro or con. I'm just questioning as a paying person, paying their wage. I'm saying, you promised me this. You mm-hmm. promised me this. Where is it? Forget about all this other little stuff. Let's focus on this. The point right now is not to throw kids out of the country that have lived here. The point is where's our medical benefits? It can be done. And if you say, it's I'm going to throw this out here. I know this is controversial. But if you say, oh, it's so complicated and stuff, it's real simple. Give us the same benefits that Congress has.
Yep. One pay.
Okay. We've got another special guest calling in for Sheena. It's our lovely Kate Linder.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Hey, Sheena. Happy birthday.
Thank you, my
friend. Happy birthday. Unfortunately, I only have a couple minutes,
but I
wanted to just wish you the happiest birthday.
I'm so glad you're here. Now, it's funny because Carolyn yeah. Hennessy was here earlier, and Kate is in our women's theater group that yeah. I was talking about. I feel bad when Carolyn talks about General Hospital. My best friend, Ellie Weiss, is here, and she watches General Hospital. I have never seen a General Hospital. But Kate has been on The Young and the Restless for
I
even
used
longer.
I used to watch Young and the Restless religiously, Esther... Amazing.
Esther Slays. Kate's amazing. My mom was a Young and the Restless fan, and I watched Kate's first day on the show.
Wow.
That was actually April 8th will be my 36th anniversary.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Wonderful.
And we celebrated your 30th anniversary on the air, right? You came and did my show, and my daily show, and we celebrated then.
Now we're at 36, and it's 45 for the show.
36, yeah, 36. For Kate, is that fantastic?
Our show, the 45th
an acting job that lasts 36 years. Is that something? And Kate was, and I'm gonna brag you up because you're my friend and I love you. And also, Kate is part of our advisory board for the RaisingTheVibration.org movement. And I'm so honored to have you. Kate was really the person who brought comedy to daytime soaps.
Oh,
So she just, it's
thank
true.
You, thank you. And I never watched
And there was all kinds of comedy after that, right? But you were the one to really be the first really comedic character.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because they really didn't have comedy. They really didn't at that time, 36 years ago. But
you mean the, on purpose?
They didn't really have
they had drinking, drama, and sex.
Lines in the beginning.
Smoking.
So
it was all comedy.
That was the way I did it.
Yeah. I know, and but Kate really had was a fun, and now there are comedic characters on all daytime soaps,
right?
Because of you,
right,
buddy. Absolutely. How about that? How much? And you are such a sweet lady, and everybody loves you. And I am so honored to have you in my life, and so honored to be your friend, and so honored that you're a part of this movement because I think you're very special.
Well, I think that you're very special, and I'm honored to be here talking to you and to be part of all of it.
Thank
so we
you,
just
sweetheart.
All have to keep going.
Yep.
That's all we can do.
Bringing peace into the world and love and kindness and unity, and I adore you. Thank you for calling, sweetheart. I know I've got to let you run.
Take care,
honey.
Happy birthday.
Thank you,
happy
sweetheart.
Birthday.
I appreciate it. Thank you. The wonderful Kate Linder, everybody.
Yay. Hi. Yay.
Yay. Hi, everybody. Bye.
Bye, honey. So let me read the advisory board to you all right now. Yeah. Now's a good time, right? So I started putting this advisory board together at the end of last year, November of last year, right around our 1 year anniversary. I didn't announce the advisory board. We were here in this studio at LA Talk Radio doing the 1 year anniversary of I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World on November 9th. And I didn't announce it then because it was so new. And I had calls out to people and I hadn't heard back from people. So here's who we have so far. Allison Arngrim, Gretchen Bonaducci, who should be calling later tonight, Brianna Brown, who sends her best, Christian Campbell, Crystal Chappelle, Betsy Chassie, who we just heard from, yeah. Ray Don Chong, who's here with me, Chip Coffey, who called in, Lydia Cornell, Erica Irvin, who sang happy birthday as Carol Channing on meth, Hank Garrett, the wonderful Carolyn Hennessy, who is here, Darby Hinton, who's on his way, Lainey Kazan, Kate Linder, who we just heard from, Don Lynn, who is in Europe right now, so we probably won't be calling. Mackenzie Aston, who's doing a play with his dad and may be here or may not. Chase Masterson, who has her own wonderful nonprofit called the Pop Culture Hero Coalition. Jill Michelle Melion, Brian O'Neill, Alexandra Paul, Andrea Perrin, Jerry Rochelle, Robin Riker, Rodney Allen Rippey, Angela Rockwood, Cynthia Rothrock, who is going to be calling later, Abel Salisbury, Jason Stewart, who we talked to earlier, Ernest Thomas, Joan Van Ark, Ann Walker, Dee Wallace, Don Wells, Johnny Whitaker, who should be here later, yes. Kathleen Wilhoit. If you're planning to call in later and I didn't say that when I said your name, I'm sorry, it's because I can't look at two lists at one. How about that beautiful advisory board? I mean, and every one of these people. Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks
for having us. Thanks for having us.
Every one of you I love so much. Are you cool hanging? Do you need to go, Radon? Are you okay?
Oh, do you want to? Are you? Am I being annoying?
No, stay. I just didn't want to overstay you and just make you stay.
You know what? I'm gonna go because then I can let someone else be bossy. But I love you to pieces.
I love you too. I'm not.
I don't think I'm being bossy today.
No, do you want to stay till Darby comes?
No. I have a dog in the car. I have my pit bull. But I love you, and I just want to backtrack a little bit on something.
Okay, sure.
I want to leave you with a nugget. Immediately, we are in a crisis. And so for everyone who's listening, everyone on the board, we need to keep putting out confidence and concern and truth to the people that are surrounding him. Because he does have the nuclear football. And he is in a really bad situation. So I can talk about the future, but there is no future if this man loses his mind and does something really bad. And I don't know. Personally, I don't know who around him will stop him. I know there are people that are angels that are doing the good deed, but this is a really important thing. So if you want to talk about putting somebody in our thoughts, it's him, that he has a come to Jesus moment and gets, you know.
I want to talk about something before you left that I wanted to talk about before Kate called in, because she only had a couple minutes. You were talking about how the country felt after what happened with the Bush-Gore election. Uh-huh. And I think that with then just a year later, 9/11, and the never-ending war in Afghanistan and Iraq.
We're still in.
And then...
Also the 208 economic crises.
The economic crises. Our auto industry.
Our mass shootings.
The banks crashing.
Newtown.
All this funky stuff with the banks. The horrible racism we saw during the Obama administration. And then right into this.
And the massacre of children.
And constant the escalating school shootings.
And
I just think that all of us, so many of us as Americans, are kind of just like this all the time.
We're
like
under siege.
We've been PTSD'd into being in a place of numbness, into a place of apathy, into a place of fear, into a place of, God, can it just stop for 5 minutes so I can eat an ice cream and enjoy my life? If the reason that this movement was founded the day after that election, the day the announcements were results were announced, which just coincidentally happened to be my mother's birthday, and I wanted to do something for her teachings, was because I saw my country and my friends and my communities being ripped apart, and somebody has to say, no, it's got, we have to
stop.
That's why some people ask me. A lot of people tell me they're okay with peace, they're okay with love, they're okay with kindness. They have a problem when I get to unity. And the reason that unity's there is because we are one human family.
We're an organism.
And we need to remember that. We are each other's brothers and sisters, even if we don't
there's
have a lot
no
of
common other.
With each other.
There's no other.
Their only race is
the human
race.
Race. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's just it.
On that note, I'm going to take my humanness. Well, and go
and
kiss
walk
my
your
puppy.
Dog.
Yeah, because he's so good.
I love you, my friend.
Give
thank
your
you.
Puppy a hug for me.
Thank you for bringing your love and your wisdom thank here, you. Sweetheart. Thank you. The wonderful Ray Dawn Chong is here. Oh, my goodness. JP is running across the studio. Welcome, Jeff.
Well, I'm going to give her a hug. And
okay,
then
good. Oh, God, everybody's hugging her. I feel bad that I'm not,
huggers.
But I'm stuck in the seat. I'm hugging you with my mind. I love you, but I'm stuck here.
Okay, go.
Okay. Everyone has to hug the beautiful Pisces before she leaves.
I will.
You're
happy
like a
birthday.
Warm pool of water, my beautiful Pisces
or
friend.
Or something, right?
Or something.
If you see a bearded man wandering the halls, tell him to come in.
Yeah, and a cowboy hat, tell him to come this way. Bye, Ray Dawn, the wonderful Ray Dawn, everybody. Ray Dawn Chong, isn't she something?
Happy birthday.
I think that maybe next year for my birthday, we're going to get a baby pool, fill it with chocolate pudding, and let Ray Dawn and Erica go at it.
Oh, I would pay to see that.
I think a lot. We're going to charge admission, and the donations come to the movement. Jeff Floro is part of our Vibration Council. Welcome, my friend.
It's great to be here.
I don't know who knows this. I know you two know this, but Jeff is Jeff and I are working on a meditation and inspiration CD. I'm going to write all the prayers and the meditations, and Jeff is designing all the music for it. And I think it's going to be pretty fantastic. And each word, each track, the music will be geared to be an inspiration to you. So there's one called inspiration. There's one called meditation. There's one called purification. There's one, of course, they all had to like rhyme at the end, right? Because of me, the queen of that. Yeah, LA's not the least bit surprised. No. Every one of them is set up to make you feel a certain way. And the more I get to know Jeff and how talented he is as a musician, the more excited I am about this. Jeff is also going to redo the radio production for this show.
Yay.
And he's writing some theme music. Not just for this show, but that will also be on our RaisingTheVibration.org and I am RaisingTheVibration.com websites.
Did you want to do your normal job, Jeff, and come over here?
No, and the reason not is because I have another show coming up, so you're going to see me leave for a few
you're
minutes
doing
come
such
back.
A good job, JP.
You're doing awesome, but I'll be going in and out, so I'm just letting you guys know.
No, we're fine
with
that.
Thank you.
And then, of course, we have a wonderful community of peace, love, kindness, and unity. Then we are now over 12,000 strong there. It's called TheVibrationNation.com.
Amazing.
Go there and join us. And JP and LA are our moderators and me. But, you know, me. Somebody put the Oompa Loompa in charge.
Oompa Loompa.
I'm not there as much
the way,
as either of
worldwide.
Them are.
It's worldwide. It is worldwide.
And you will see posts from people all over the world who are busy doing different things in their lives, spiritual things, there's political things, there's social things. It was interesting, and I want to talk about this because I love Erica very much. It was interesting that she was sort of offended that we were talking about politics on my birthday, but I will say this from the beginning. Those of you who were there at the inception of this movement, and the three of you were, I didn't know you at the time, JP, really, but LA and Jeff were probably the first two people I told about it. Because the day of Mom's birthday, the day the announcements were for the election where the results were announced, I came to work, and I was not in a good place. I did a two-hour tribute to Mom with Chip Coffee as my guest, and he suffered through it. Then I went to do my friend Rebecca Fearing's show with Jeff, and I told Jeff that night at dinner, I think I need to do something to honor Mom, and I think it has something to do with this. So let me just say for people who don't know that since its inception, I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World was supposed to be where spirituality and humanity, sociology and politics meet. Mm-hmm. So those have always been the four limbs of this movement. And to me, it's impossible to talk about spirituality without talking about sociology. It's impossible to talk about humanity without talking about politics, because human beings in the three-dimensional world where we all live, we congregate, and politics is part of our life no matter where you live. And so is sociology, so is humanitarianism and humanity, and so is spirituality. So sometimes when people get like, why are we being so spiritual, or why are we talking about politics? Well, those two things have always been an important part of the movement, which is why I decided to start doing, when I first started doing the Chicks on Politics broadcasts on my daily Sheena Metal Experience show, there was a minute where I thought, should I do this? Because now I'm the vibration girl. And I actually got that from Betsy Chassie, who called in earlier because Betsy directed What the Bleep Do We Know. She always used to talk on when she would be a guest on my show about how she couldn't do certain things because people expected her to be the bleep girl. And that kind of made me laugh, because now I've kind of become the vibration girl and people expect good vibrational things from me. But the reason I decided to go ahead with Chicks on Politics is that part of this movement has always been politics. It's impossible to have a discussion about life in this country right now and not bring politics into it, because we all have questions. LA?
Oh, I was just going to say, the thing that bothers me about that, and this is something that I've dealt with when we've talked about me getting my business and practice back up and running, is that it's that all or nothing thing, like when we were talking about politics, but it applies to individuals, that people expect people to be one-dimensional. They have an expectation of you, and so they want you to be the vibration person, and they want this person to be the politics person, and they want da-da-da. And nobody is that. You know, everybody has so many sides to them, I hope, you know, and different interests and, you know, just different opinions. Sometimes, I mean, I can hold two different opinions about a subject in my head at the same time. Two differing ones, because I'm not really sure what the truth is here, and a lot of things I just let sit there because I don't really need to know. You know, it's not if it's some sort of universal truth or what have you, you know. But it bothers me when, because it's just like, especially here in LA, right, Hollywood, all of these, you know, it's typecasting people in life.
Yeah, we do.
And so
our culture, it's
yeah,
like that.
You know, so and everybody is all about pigeonholing people and being able to label them. And that's something that I had a friend ask, actually, I think it was on when we were on the way up here for the last time we did the Facebook Live, and we were driving up, and she said, well, how do you categorize yourself spiritually? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, what do you call yourself? Are you spiritual? Are you pagan? Are you this? Are you that? And I said, I don't. My entire life, I've done everything I can to stay away from being labeled as anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe in that. I think we just are who we are, and we change and we grow if we're actually living this life. And, you know, and it bothers me that people have those kinds of expectations, like, of you, because even without the politics, you were doing, you know, you were doing music, you were doing the, you know, you started doing Haunted Playground, all these things.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
No, people need to allow people to be multifaceted because it keeps them more interesting.
Well, that's the key. Your personality, or Sheena, it's not one thing. It's many facets.
Right.
Like a diamond. It's many facets.
Well, and it's not just my multifaceted, but our movement is multifaceted.
And every
as
person.
Well.
You
right.
too.
JP?
There's many things.
Hey, we have another caller,
Yay.
Sheena. Hi, we got Moosey Dreyer.
Hi, Moosey. How are you, sweetheart?
Happy birthday, princess.
Thank you, baby. How wonderful is it to have you here? Moosey did
thanks.
This.
I didn't mean to break up the party. It sounds like
no. Are you? You are the party. People calling in is the party. We
You better stay on that line.
You're Moosey did the show in the summer with his beautiful girl Erin Murphy. Sometimes I like to let couples come on together. It's happened a couple times. Suzanne Wong and her boyfriend Jeff came. Mm-hmm. Jill Michelle Melion and her boyfriend. And Aaron and Moosey and Corey Feldman and his wife did the show together. There's something kind of beautiful about couples that have beautiful energy together. Kind of fits in because as a couple, right, Moosey, you guys have a vibration between you.
I believe that. And, you know, I think it's a well-known fact that couples that do radio shows together stay together.
Oh, good.
I think that's, yes. Yeah.
Not to bring you down, but that was not the case in my life.
Yeah, remember that.
But.
So can I just tell you, let me tell you real quickly why Erin isn't also calling in. She's on a cruise ship in the Caribbean.
That's right.
And yeah, so
she's getting hit on by all the lesbians.
That's right, because, yes. Yeah. She's on a lesbian cruise.
Her sister is married to a wonderful woman named Laura, and Laura couldn't make the trip, so her sister... Diane brought Erin on the cruise with her. So now Erin's on a cruise ship with 2,100 beautiful lesbians and an Erin.
Who's gorgeous anyway? Come on, Erin.
I think if I was going to go on an Olivia cruise with my hot lesbian twin, I would wear a chastity belt and a holster with pepper spray.
I swear to you, there's a Netflix show.
Yes.
In the making, just by that concept right there.
Yes, so. Just the fact that they're twins, the whole thing is just, it's already its own film that will premiere at Outfest in the summer.
Absolutely, I'll be the first to record it.
Oh, please!
So you're such a lovely, centered, gentle, beautiful guy. You're, like, great with Erin, you're great with your son. Mm. I've seen you as a director, people that you've directed that I love you. How important do you think it is to keep your vibration high despite what's going on in your life, in the country, in the world? I mean, life's a little crazy right now. And what is it for you to sort of keep yourself in a place where you're bringing light and goodness to others?
Well, I tell you what, you always have to keep in mind how important that is, because, you know, vibrations don't continue and they don't rub off unless you're putting them out. You know what I mean? You need to live the example. So I think it's extremely important, because also you never know if you put out good vibrations and your heart is in the right place and you're, you know, a decent soul, then, you know, that can be contagious. So you could be helping others, you know, feel what they need to be feeling in those moments.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. And I think as a director, right, you become a parental figure for those actors. And it's so important that you let that vibration of yumminess trickle down, because actors are just like lovely, porous little sponge people. And
thank you.
You know,
you. And if you look at my picture, you'll notice I've absorbed a lot.
Yeah, you are Sponge Jeff Purple Shirt. And that, you know, and so you know what you do affects them. So if you're always yelling and screaming, if you're completely in a state of anxiety, if you're always freaking out, they're picking all that energy up from you, and then that energy is effusing into the production, and then the audience will energetically feel that. So, you know,
I agree. I believe that. I think that angry, throwing things, breaking things, making people feel bad. I think that I'm hoping anyway. That's more of an old school.
Me too.
Approach.
Me
in
too.
The path.
Yeah.
You know, we're all artists, whether you're an actor, whether you're the director, whether you're the makeup artist, whether you're
musician.
Putting a lovely array out on a castle's table. We're all artists. We're all doing, you know, a subjective work. And, you know, you don't want to clip anybody's wings. You want to be more supportive and, you know, allow everybody to know that you're in a collaborative situation as opposed to, I'm the boss, you do this, you do that. No, that's wrong. You know, that approach... Besides, you know, if you speak at somebody and not with, if you speak to someone or at someone as opposed to, you know, with them, and like you're in it together, then people get tense and they lock up. And first of all, you're not going to get the performance, the best performance out of them if they're feeling like now they're walking on eggshells. So it makes no sense.
Yeah, I completely agree. And why would you want to? You know, I haven't directed you, and you haven't directed me, but I directed Erin in the Vagina Monologues. And, you know, I just use every minute I have with that cast. and it's a reading, so I'm not with them as much as you are when you're in a full production with actors, but to just pour as much love and as much warmth into every single one of them and to constantly empower them and make them feel terrific. And, you know, like you said, that old school ideology, Moosey, of, you know, you think you're an actor, you worm, you're going to suck in this thing. It's like, I'm not a drill sergeant, I'm a director. And my job is to build people up so that they give the best performance because they feel the best about themselves.
Right.
Absolutely. And just, by the way, when you bring up the vagina monologue, that was a couple of years ago I went to, and you were amazing. The show was amazing.
Thank you.
And the at least a half a dozen people who I've run into since then who were like, oh, yeah, I met you at Sheena Metal's vagina monologue. Without exception, everyone, oh, I love Sheena. She was such a great, generous director, and that worked out. So,
thank you.
So it definitely is true what you say, and you practice it.
Yeah, that makes me so happy. My best friend in the whole world, L.A. Weiss, is here, and I always tell her, like, when I die, what you put on my tombstone, although I don't want to have a tombstone, but if I had a tombstone and it just said, like, you know, Sheena Metal, she was really nice. Like, that is the biggest compliment that anybody could put on my tombstone. Because that, in the end, that's what it's about. How many people did you make smile? Who did you touch? Who loved you and thought you were just a decent human being? And that's number one. That should be all of our goals on this earth. And that absolutely is the most important thing to me. So thank you for sharing that with me. And I hope this year I'm going to be able to rope Aaron back in to do it again, because I roped those girls in, let me tell you. Thank you, my friend, for calling in. You're very special, and I adore you, and I can't wait to see you.
Thank you. Love you. Happy birthday.
Love you, sweetheart. Thank
sorry
you.
If I interrupted, I felt like I interrupted
the
conversation.
Are you kidding me? No. We've just been having crazy conversations all night long, sweetie.
It's a free-for-all.
Peppered with phone calls and all kinds of stuff, so you didn't interrupt at all. I'm so glad you're here.
It's This is her, you know, friend since high school. But it's so funny. You know, good old kids news for kids way back when, right? I met you in line for Pirates of the Caribbean when we were probably both, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something.
Oh,
like
that. No kidding.
We were stuck in this really long line for Pirates of the Caribbean, and there you were. It's just so funny.
Oh, no kidding. And who is this? Who am I speaking with?
Oh, this is LA, my best friend since I was 14.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's just one of those random things.
I hope I wasn't an obnoxious.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, you know, we were both kids, so it was fine. We were just stuck in a really long line. You know? Anyway, yeah, just totally random thing.
Oh, Moosey, you were 8, you were a boy. We are always obnoxious at that age.
I don't know. Moosey's gentle. I think you were probably a really cool kid.
I appreciate that.
You're a lovely dude.
I don't know.
Sweetheart, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
Thanks for making my birthday special. Thanks, honey.
Bye-bye.
People are asking, some of them in the chat room and had texted me to give out the number.
Oh.
They want to wish you a happy birthday.
Okay, let me give the number out. I just had it. If people wonder why I'm looking at my phone, I'm trying to organize the call-ins. JP, will you give the number? It's right there on your screen, love.
Okay, just a minute. It's 818 area code 570-5085. If you want to call in and wish happy birthday to the Miss Sheena Metal.
Yay!